Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Na chanam tani karmani nivadnanti dananjaya udasina vadasinam ashatante sakarmasu. O Dananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I'm ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. One should not think in this connection that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no engagement. In the spiritual world, he's always engaged. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Admaramasya tasyati prakrityamasam samagamaha. He's always involved in his eternal, blissful spiritual activities, but he has nothing to do with these material activities. Material activities are being carried on by his different potencies. The Lord is always neutral in the material activities of the created world. This neutrality is mentioned here with the word udasinavat. Although he has control over every minute detail of material activities, he's sitting as if neutral. The example can be given of a high court judge sitting on his bench. By his order, so many things are happening. Someone's being hanged, someone's being put into jail, someone's awarded a huge amount of wealth, but still he's neutral. He has nothing to do with all that gain and loss. Similarly, the Lord is always neutral, though he has his hand in every sphere of activity. In the Vedanta Sutra 2.134, it is stated, Vaisamya Naigrinyena, he's not situated in the dualities of this material world. He's transcendental to these dualities. Nor is he attached to the creation and annihilation of this material world. The living entities take their different forms in the various species of life according to their past deeds, and the Lord doesn't interfere with them.
Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
It's not uncommon that when a great calamity takes place, that people become angry with God, and that they blame him, that they blame him for what has happened. And how could this have happened? How could it? It's not justified. That kind of feeling is very strong. How could this happen? Yeah. Not understanding that the living being, that he has nothing to do with it, that he is not at all making arrangements for giving for all the experiences that the living beings are going through. It's not that the Supreme Lord is making these arrangements. We bring it upon ourselves. Thanks. We bring it upon ourselves, and in this way, Krishna is neutral. Krishna has simply provided the material energy because we desired to be independent from him. And yes, there is a design in the material energy. And that design is basically meant to reawaken our God consciousness, and that's all. So Krishna has no other intention than to just awaken God consciousness in all living beings in some aspect or another. So Krishna is always merciful. Krishna is therefore always kind. We, with our own movements in the material energy, bring so much upon ourselves. The problem is that we forget. We forget when we came in the material world, and we forget life after life, what we have done, and therefore we can no longer appreciate that we are responsible for what we are experiencing. But the fact is that we are. And it is through scriptures that we gradually become aware. Through scriptures that we begin to see in a different way. Anyway, the bottom line is that Krishna is full of love, Krishna is full of kindness. And we are too much focusing on the reality of the body and on this life and everything we're going through, whereas Krishna is not illusioned by the material forms, which are just basically made of matter. Krishna is seeing the soul, and Krishna is interested in the service that the soul has rendered, because that is actual blissful activity. Anything else is never blissful. Any material activity is never ever blissful. Sometimes we're hoping it's going to be, and it's like we hope that the material energy will be fulfilling our desires, and then we just, as soon as there's a little enjoyment, we say, yes, 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 yes. Now I'm happy. Now I'm so happy. But how happy are we really? No, I am happy. Are you really happy? No, definitely. Who are you trying to convince? Material happiness is not going to be possible. The verse takes us to this aspect of the material world. But Krishna has nothing to do with the material world. He's not interested in the material world. He didn't want the material world. He doesn't particularly want anything to do with the material world. It's not his design, it's not his plan, it is all the plans of living beings. Krishna's plan is something totally different. It's the spiritual world, and that is. And Krishna makes endless efforts to bring all the living beings back to the spiritual world,
some way or other.
But to become a resident of the spiritual world, it requires a certain quality. So Krishna does make many arrangements for us to learn. The other day we were discussing the story of how the Pandavas were in the forest, and how they had been there already in their 12th year. So Duryodhana had been on the throne for 12 years, so Duryodhana was naturally, by then, very established. 12 years is a long time. So Karna, one day, had a brilliant idea. He said, my spies have recently informed me where the Pandavas are in the forest, so why don't we go there with a big caravan and just show our opulence and our power and how much we are enjoying, just so that they can, feel it a little more. So Duryodhana said, brilliant idea, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So they made all the arrangements and they went with a huge army, a huge caravan, showing off all their opulence. On the way to that place where the Pandavas were, they passed by a lake. And suddenly from the water, this effulgent personality appeared and said, stop.
So Duryodhana said, stop. You know, who are you, you know? I mean, get out of my way. I mean, you know, look, you know, who I am. I'm the emperor. I have my army here and everything. And you're telling me to get out of the way. I mean, really, you know, you'd better move over or... It became a huge fight, and the effulgent personality was a Gandharva, and Gandharvas are very powerful. And it turned out there was a whole army of Gandharvas, and in fact, the Gandharvas were winning. They were seriously winning. Even Karna was in difficulty, and finally, as it went, Duryodhana was in big trouble. Well, that news reached fast to the Pandavas who were nearby in the forest, and Bhima said, hey, these Gandharvas are doing a great job. They're saving us a lot of trouble. They're fixing up Duryodhana. I mean, that's pretty good. And several of the other Pandavas, they also thought, yeah, Bhima is right. And Yudhisthira says, no, Bhima, no. He said, amongst us, there are Kurus and Pandavas. He said, but for the world, there are only Kurus. Because we are one family. And if they attack one of our family, it is our duty to come to his rescue. And Bhima says, what? We are supposed to go and rescue Duryodhana? And Yudhisthira said yes. Yudhisthira insisted. And then Yudhisthira said, and all the other Pandavas, you know, they were also thinking, no, we have to save Duryodhana? Yes. And then Yudhisthira said that he was performing some yajna, and that he couldn't go. And he sent his brothers. So you can just imagine. You know, anyway, they went. So then, you know, it became a whole fight, and Arjuna got into the fight with the Gandharvas and using celestial weapons, and these Gandharvas, they were getting in serious trouble. So they decided to escape and take Duryodhana with them by flying up into the sky. And then Arjuna, he shot so many arrows into the sky that it made a net that covered the whole sky. And then the Gandharvas couldn't get through. And finally, you know, like, they had to come back down. And there was Arjuna. Okay, now release Duryodhana. So he did. And then, oh, Duryodhana, God, did he feel terrible. It saved, you know, what misery it was. So he looked down to the ground in total shame and said to Arjuna, okay, you saved my life. So, what boon do you want? So, kshatriya practice. And Judah said, no, I'll ask for it later. Later he did. He did. And we'll get to that today. Anyway, so in this way, we see how Duryodhana then went into the forest and decided to give up his life. He said, I'll fast till death. But as he was fasting, he had a vision, and all the daityas, the demons, appeared before him and said, we have performed great sacrifices and pujas, and you are the result of that. So, you know, you can't give up now, right? All these sacrifices, all the benefit of these sacrifices are behind you. You will be victorious. And we'll perform more sacrifices. And also, Karna has appeared to assist you, so everything is fine. Who was previously Narakasura? So like this, we see that, the Pandavas, and Duryodhana, Karna, everyone in that whole battle of Kurukshetra and everything that surrounded it, we're all learning lessons. And we're seeing that everyone had lessons to learn. And Yudhisthira, of course, was the most noble personality, the most selfless. the one who put Dharma before anything. Therefore, he was meant to be the leader. So it is interesting how it works. Yet, yet, acharti shristas tatat evataru janaha, that there must be a leader. A leader to keep us in check, although we're all wanting to be devotees, and although everyone we saw amongst the Pandavas, they were all pure devotees. Still, Yudhisthira was the most exalted. In his vision, the most brilliant. No one would have ever thought of saving Duryodhana. We would have, we'd have definitely not thought of it. But we would have joined Bhima. I think Bhima would have been our hero. Yeah. Well done, Gandharvas. They would have brought garlands for the Gandharvas. Well, he would have said he was a demon anyway. So, so different personalities embody the qualities of Krishna. And such personalities are great, powerful spiritual personalities, and they are they're leading this movement. They're offering a vision to us, and in that vision, everyone stands purified. We were just in Bhakti Chalumarchi's Vyasa Puja, and it wasn't easy to glorify him because he would glorify us back. I mean, really, and he's good at it. Right? I mean, he's really good at it, so he was better than we were. So you had to be careful whatever you said, because he would turn it around and then start glorifying you instead. You know? Yeah. So that's a Vaishnava quality. It's because a Vaishnava is really, it's not a technique, you know, it's not that one is practicing the technique of glorifying others. It's not that. It's simply having this generous vision instead of a miserly vision. A miserly vision is where we can't give any credit to anyone, and a generous vision, we can say, oh, this is so nice, that is so nice, this is done so nice. So a very generous outlook, giving credit, giving so much credit, that is not so simple. That is truly, that is deep realization to be there. So I could see that quality. And then he started to appreciate ISKCON and said, it's so nice. It's such a nice movement because there are so many nice people. Yeah. So nice things, I must say. So great personalities like that, they're chosen by Krishna. Some time ago, in our Gopi Paramandana Prabhu, who was a great Sanskrit scholar and scholar of scriptures, he suddenly left his body, and that was a remarkable thing. And I met him just before, because he was in Germany. He had been in Poland and for the Polish tour with the Jumna Maharaj, and then he stopped one night in the Berlin temple, and for some reason the temple was not open because everyone had gone to some festival. But he stayed there and I stayed there for a night, and it just coincided. And then he went to Vrindavan. And as he went to Vrindavan, he just left his body there. Although he lived in Vrindavan, he was only meant to stay there for a few days and then go on to China. And he left exactly in those days, you know, like, which is like inconceivable, right? And I just met his son, right, who grew up at Govardhan. I didn't recognize him because, you know, boys who turn teenagers, they look so different each time you see them. So I didn't recognize him. But then I said, where are you from? He said, oh, from Govardhan. I said, okay. He said, yeah. I grew up there. Then I realized, oh, God, it's Gopi's son. And then we were reminiscing. And I told him, I said, you know, there are some people, they get recognition by society. They get a reward, you know, they call them on the stage, and we want to offer a special reward to such and such for outstanding services. Get a reward. So some get recognition from a society, an institution. Others, they don't get such a reward, but they just get recognition from the general body of devotees. Everybody appreciates them, yes. I said, like, but others, again, like Gopi Puranadana, they get recognition from Krishna. And that's how it was. He got recognition from Krishna. Krishna just said, okay, you're ready. You can come back to the spiritual world. And yes, and that it was not surprising, because he was someone who was not only extremely learned in scripture, but who was extremely humble and extremely tolerant. Was just always very humble, you know, and just like very tolerant. I don't know if anybody met him, but amazingly. So I just said, one of the problems, there is nasta preesha badraesu nityam bhagavata sevya bhagavati uttam sloka bhakti bhavati nastiki. It said, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, practically almost all remnants of sinful activities are being destroyed. And then the question is asked sometimes, why almost? And the answer Prabhupada gave was, because when we get learned in the scripture, we become proud. So that's the problem. So to overcome that pride, that is the greatest thing. So he had that quote. So Yudhisthira Maharaj was also such a personality, was recognized by Krishna. And the recognition of Krishna. So there are souls in this world who are recognized by Krishna. I think someone like Bhakti Charun Maharaj also recognized by Krishna, because he came relatively late in Prabhupada's earthly pastimes, and then somehow or other, boom, very quickly became a leader. And I was thinking that, yes, he did so many things, undoubtedly translating books, said like, but all these things were sort of a preparation for what he's doing now, which is the main service, I think. That's what he was meant for what he's doing now, to just be a spiritual master who carries so much piety from so many lives, and who can carry forward at least an aspect of Prabhupada's mission. So different men are got recognition like that from Krishna. So such devotees, they will lead, and still all others also can can be pure devotees. So I find it very interesting to see the Pandavas, you know what I mean, and the different characters. Like, Bhima is a pure devotee, yet Bhima is sort of, you know, he's got a bit of a temper and everything, right? I mean, it's definitely, you know, sometimes you have to control Bhima a little bit, just as when Ashwatthama had, after at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, had killed the sleeping sons of Draupadi. Anyway, Arjuna captured this Ashwatthama, and then, you know, Krishna said to Arjuna, so what will you do? What punishment? You know, he has killed those who were sleeping. He's a murderer. He should be killed. He should be punished with his life. Yes, Bhima said. Yes, that's right. You know, let's do it right now. Arjuna is sort of hesitating. Oh, I'm not sure. Bhima says, well, I can do it. And not only that, you know. And then Draupadi said, no, Bhima, no. Right? No, Bhima, no. And then Bhima said, well, you know, anyway, it's too much. And Bhima was going to do it. Right? And then Krishna suddenly... And then Draupadi dramatically jumped in between Bhima and Ashwatthama, you know. No, stop! And became a whole family drama. And then Krishna, he jumped in between Draupadi and Bhima, and he manifested four arms. Two for Draupadi and two for Bhima. And that way kept them from... entering into a major battle right there on the situation. So we see, it's nice to see the characters in these personalities, that they're not just, they're all pure devotees, right? And stereotypes, you know, and that pure devotees are all saying the same thing, you know, Hare Krishna, and very humble. No, Bhima is fiery and he's got like a strong nature, and well, on some occasions Draupadi wanted Bhima. When they were in Virata, in the kingdom of Virata, that general who was interested in her and was misbehaving, and then Bhima fixed him up and turned him into a ball. So what can be said, right? But ultimately, Yudhisthira was chosen to be the leader, somehow or another, chosen by Krishna, because Yudhisthira had those qualities that no one else had. And it works like that. So we do not ever perform spiritual life alone. Right? There's no such thing as performing spiritual life alone. We must perform spiritual life serving Vaishnavas. And they'll serve Vaishnavas. And they'll serve Vaishnavas. And in the end, it all comes together. It all comes together like that, in a very auspicious formation. So like that, everything becomes auspicious and perfect. Very nice. Because we know that we may be of good intentions. I mean, I assume all of us want to be devotees. Let's start with that. You know, we're in a gathering of devotees. So let's assume everyone wants to be a devotee. Maybe exceptions, but I'm not expressing that. We all want to be devotees. And but at the same time, we have we bring personalities with us, right? And these personalities may not be balanced, yeah, from so many lifetimes of karma, and we're a bit too much of this and a bit not enough of that, and so on, and that's what it is. And then only a very exalted special soul is perfectly balanced. So of course everyone can become. But it's interesting to see that Bhima, although he was a pure devotee, that still he had this kind of strong, bull-like nature, right? Easily angered, ready to knock over. He still had these particular qualities. And so therefore, we take shelter. We take shelter of superior Vaishnavas, and that is our process to become balanced by others. That is the process. Okay, I won't make it so late. So, any questions? Any comments?
What was the poon used for?
I cannot hear you.
What was the poon used for?
What was the
what? Poon.
The poon. The poon.
The
poon. Well, many years later, during the Battle of Kurukshetra, then what happened was that the war was going on, and Duryodhana was accusing Bhishma. He was saying, actually, the Pandavas are your favorite grandsons, and therefore you are sparing them. You're not really fighting. You're making a show, but you're not really fighting. You're sparing them, actually. So then he challenged him like that. So then Bhishma said, all right. He said, tomorrow. He said, he pulled out 5 arrows. He said, you see these 5 arrows? Tomorrow, I will finish the 5 Pandavas with these 5 arrows. So Duryodhana was very happy. And at the same time, Duryodhana was getting a little worried, because he knew that Indra and others, you know, like demigods, were protecting the Pandavas. So therefore, he said, Grandfather, please give these arrows to me. I will return them to you tomorrow. Yeah. So then he got the arrows, and he had the arrows. Meanwhile, Krishna knew everything. And so Krishna said to Arjuna, you have to go tonight to the tent of Duryodhana. He said, tomorrow you'll be dead. Right? And he instructed him to go to Duryodhana to use the boon. So he went to Duryodhana's tent in the night. And Arjuna came there, and Arjuna reminded him of the boon. He said, remember this boon. So Duryodhana said, what do you want? You want the kingdom without any battle? He was ready. He said, I give it to you. You want the kingdom without any battle? No, Arjuna said, just give me those 5 arrows. Like that. Yeah, there you go. Krishna's politics.
Marge, what do we do with the unfavorable qualities that come up in our consciousness?
they become balanced out in the association of the Vaishnavas. If we don't do anything with this, either the Vaishnavas will get in our caves, or the Vaishnavas will, you know, engage us. If we're afraid, then the cause of serving, it comes, will overcome it. If we're angry, if we have a problem with anger in the association with the Vaishnavas, we want to overcome it. That's where it has to be purified.
Spoke of the Pandavas and the qualities they had, especially the Bhima Sumadhistra. But I find like if you come back to the CC, then you find like the standard that Lord Chaitanya puts quite high. Because then you find people like Kavidas, people like they said of Rupa Raghunath, they're like very high standard of devotional services, taking as that as a template.
Okay. So that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we find a very high standard of devotional service, and we're looking at Rupa and Raghunath, Haridas Thakur, and that's like a very, very high level for role models, template. But of course, you know, again, they were Namacharya, Rasacharya, they were especially chosen to lead others. You know, Rupa Goswami is Rupa and Sanatana were the inspiration of everyone. Everyone was talking about them. Devotees from Bengal would go to Vrindavan and they would come back in Bengal and people would ask him, what about Rupa and Sanatana? They would even sometimes not ask about anything else. They would ask about Rupa and Sanatana. So Rupa and Sanatana were an incredible inspiration to everyone, and Haridas is just inconceivable. Everyone agreed that he was a saint. At one point, the Muslims, the Hindus, everyone accepted him as a saint. So Haridas was one of these personalities who was like just beyond the material world, and of course we understand he was Lord Brahma and Prahlad combined. So what kind of person he was? He just came here to sort of set the standard, set the example of what we are striving for. Not that we can do it, but all right. Still, it gives tremendous strength to remember somebody much greater than we are, even if we try a little bit to be like Haridas Thakur. We might even chant an extra round. So, like that, you know. It may awaken in us something, you know, from, okay, we've got to try more to chant Hare Krishna. So if there would have not been such an example of somebody so extraordinarily dedicated to chanting, then we are by nature... we are lazy, lazy-minded. Do I really have to chant? Oh, it's so difficult, this chanting, and so on. But then with such a glorious example as Hari does, it's very inspiring. And of course, today is disappearance day. So. So we cannot follow him, we cannot imitate him, but he's just our inspiration. He's so inspiring. So, with an example like Haridas. Okay, let's try and chant. Tomorrow again, this ain't on the schedule, huh?